Yes, the Stony Brook Storm Surge Research Group has been investigating storm surges, which is the flooding or the rising of sea level during major storms, which are hurricanes and nor'easters in the wintertime, and we've been studying these effects for the last 5 years.
So tell me, what is the major finding here? What would the impact of a major storm surge be on, say, Manhattan?
Well, it could be very serious. Now, the circumstances behind a storm surge depend on the kind of storm. If you talk about hurricanes, for example, hurricanes come and go very quickly, and the timing is everything. If a hurricane hits at high tide, the flooding can be very serious. If a hurricane hits at low tide, there may not be any flooding at all, although there could be a lot of damage from winds and rain. But the winter nor'easters are a different story because they can hang around for up to a week. So you're going to get a number of high tides twice a day, so the potential for flooding from nor'easters, even though the winds may not be as furious as a hurricane, the damage, the flooding can be even more serious. So in answer to your question regarding, say, a hurricane, the timing and the location where the storm hits is very critical. And people have seen flooding maps of lower Manhattan with 20-foot storm surges and the whole business district flooded. That's a sort of extreme situation where you would have a major hurricane, a direct hit on the city, and hitting at a timing where it's local high tide.
So it's more likely that flooding would occur as a result of a nor'easter rather than a hurricane.
That's correct. The last major flooding experience in Manhattan was in December 1992, and that was a winter nor'easter. And the full fury of that hit the city at high tide and caused severe flooding. The Hoboken train station filled up with seawater, not rainwater, seawater, which is salty, which is a highly conductive of electricity. And that shut down, that short-circuited the whole subway system, the whole PATH train system. And the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel had several feet of water in it. The FDR Drive was flooded. Cars were up to their roofs in seawater. So that was not a hurricane at all, but so it's already happened.
A lot of attention has been paid to the fact that we may get, or we're overdue for a Cat 1 or Cat 2 hurricane, but really you're saying that the weaker, longer-lasting storms are more of a threat than the hurricanes.
Yes, they can be, because they occur more often and they hang around longer.
Right. I'm sure, sir, that and the reason why we're doing this is the fact that there have been lots of floods washing over parts in the Midwest, and government forecasters are saying, you know, this is just a taste of things to come. We have record rainfall, melting snowpacks. There's all of this. I think what I'm asking you here is, what is the potential that we will see some very severe flooding in the New York City area in the near future?
Well, no one can predict exactly. The meteorologists categorize storms, a 25-year storm, a 50-year storm, a 100-year storm, which is a storm so serious that it occurs once every 100 years. With global climate change, we can expect more variability in the weather. Leading scientists are saying we can expect more hurricanes, more intense and more often. But it's a very difficult thing to predict because, as you know, 2005 was a very bad year for hurricanes, Katrina. 2006, 2007, there were none in this area. So it's very hard to be definitive, but statistically speaking, we can expect more 100-year storms to occur more often.
And I think that the concern in New York, especially in low-lying areas of, say, northern Brooklyn, parts of Queens, there's a lot of development going on in those areas now. Is the city taking the potential for flooding into account in letting these areas get developed up on the waterfront?
I personally don't think so. I think the building codes for New York City need to be rapidly updated. And that critical infrastructure in, say, high-rise buildings, I mean, the electricity systems, the communication, the telephone systems need to be raised up out of the basements, which are the first areas to go. I'm very concerned about southern Brooklyn, Queens, which we have millions of people living just a few feet above sea level. I did a simple survey using Google Earth looking at the subway stations in Brooklyn. I counted about 25 stations which are less than 15 feet above sea level. That's a big concern, and I'm not sure you know, we've really addressed these problems of these large areas becoming flooded and very difficult to evacuate.
And think of the density of population in these areas. I mean, when you talk about the flooding danger in the Midwest, there's not nearly as many people there as there are in Manhattan or Brooklyn.
I'm very concerned. I mean, Manhattan's one thing, and the tremendous infrastructure there around the coastline, the business district, from a commercial point of view. But in terms of density of populations, I mean, you look at Brooklyn and Queens, most of the people don't have cars, and if they did, they could never get out anyway. So how, if a major, say, Cat 3 hurricane hit Brooklyn, what would you do? I mean, part of our research group looks at predicting these things, not years ahead, but days, 2 or 3 days ahead, that we could get the warnings out to the National Weather Service. But what do you do? I mean, and if you evacuate, where do you put all those people? It's very difficult to evacuate Long Island and parts of the city that are on the island.
So true. And I think the city is really working hard on a plan for flooding now. They really do see this as a potential, you know, as a very real threat. I think that, you know, it's not just one of those things that you see in the movies anymore. And although we haven't seen anything, I think they are really taking it seriously. I mean, have you seen anything from the city or any kind of planning, you know, for a flood like this?
Well, no, they're building a new subway station. The MTA is building a new subway station on the number one line at South Ferry. And it's not yet complete. It's a $500 million project. And I've spoken to the engineers there, and I've been inside this huge new station, but the entrance is still only, I think, 7 to 10 feet above sea level, which is sufficient for a 100-year storm. But we could get a 100-year storm next week. We may not see it for 100 years, but we may see it next week. So it seems to me that we have to start thinking a little further down the road about climate change. I mean, scientists are expecting sea level by the end of this century to rise as much as 2 feet around New York. Doesn't sound like much, but when you have a big storm surge on top of that 2 feet on top of high tide, you could have a very serious problem.
Where would, sir, the largest problems be? Can you give us a laundry list of the areas that would be most impacted if we got a heavy hit?
Well, I've already mentioned, like, southern Brooklyn, the Far Rockaways, Coney Island, that whole area, Kennedy Airport, Jamaica Bay. Well, all three airports, actually, LaGuardia, Newark, and Kennedy, are built on the water's edge. LaGuardia Airport's already been flooded by ocean storms in the past. And then particularly vulnerable is areas in northern Brooklyn around Newtown Creek, which separates Brooklyn from Queens. That's another area. All around the southern coast of Manhattan, the Lower East Side, the Lower West Side, the Business District, Canal Street. I mean, that used to be a canal once upon a time. Red Hook, all these areas are very vulnerable. And also Staten Island, the southeast coast. And particularly bad if you cross the river into New Jersey, Hoboken area, Hackensack Meadows, Newark Airport, Port Elizabeth, these are all very vulnerable.
And these are vital parts of the infrastructure.
Oh, yeah.
So it is disconcerting, to say the least. And can anything really be done to prepare for a large storm or an extensive nor'easter that could cause this damaging flooding?
Well, my group's been promoting the idea to the city for a number of years that they should start thinking about building large storm surge barriers to protect the city against a catastrophe, especially in the era of climate change. If you jump the Atlantic and go to Europe, the British, the Dutch, the Italians, the Russians are all building large barriers to protect their cities located at this water's edge. London, Venice, Amsterdam, St. Petersburg. We talk about it, but I don't think the city has really come to a point where they want to commit money to not to build them, but to investigate what such barriers might look like, where would they go, how many would be needed, what level of protection would they afford, who would be protected and who would be not protected outside and so forth, I think the city starts to, needs to take this very seriously and start thinking about these things.
Okay, Malcolm Bowman, head of the Storm Surge Research Group at Stony Brook University, thanks for joining us today.
You're